work the cattle and dogs and some don't. But what I've discovered in the years doing these clinics, we do a lot of them, there'll be a dog person there. If the dog handler goes first, it takes more, and they really like it, so they can dog break their cattle, demonstrate how to dog break cattle. But when they follow us doing this demonstration, horseback, on foot, whatever it is, the cattle are basically already dog broke. So they're already responding to pressure and placement, so they don't get to show how the dogs come back on or do some other things. To me, that's not necessarily an image we want to portray either. We had a demonstration in the state this past year, and they were using the dogs on the cattle before they knew they had the cattle stacked on top of one another in the corner of the pen, and the dog guy was fine with it. To me, that's not where we need to be using dogs. So I'll leave it at that and we'll let somebody else cover that topic. But if they're working right, they're going to bring cattle to us. And I think we use the same principles I'm going to talk about tonight. It fits exactly into that scenario. They be able to start, stop, and turn. I teach a lot of classes at A&M just as guest lecture. And I used to really go into all the details on handling cattle and that kind of stuff. And I realized a lot of kids that are pretty naive, if I can get them to start one, stop one, and turn one when they think that they want to, that's a pretty good achievement sometimes. And that sounds pretty funny, but if you ever think about how hard it is sometimes to get one to stop, start, turn around on your command, that's a little more difficult. We can do it a lot of times to put a lot of pressure, but we need to really think about that and kind of keep it pretty simple. And I use a pretty simple process. If you've ever heard me talk before, you've heard this scenario as well. There's about five things that cattle do that if we're in tune with that, we can get them to work pretty good. And the first one is that whole deal they won't be able to see. You know, this old pony's looking around to catch everybody as well, right? So he's trying to make sure he knows where everything's at, anything moves, anything's different, he's going to look at it. Cattle the same way. We did a study or deal for NCBA years ago. It was titled What Cattle Eat. And we put a GoPro camera under the chin of a cow and turned her out in the pasture. And you could see what she was eating, how she was grazing. We got the footage back though, and we put her back in the drow or in the traps. She would locate every person before she made a decision on where to go. We'd been completely oblivious to that. We hadn't had a camera on her. But every time she would find everybody, there was a couple of young ladies sitting by the trailer, and she turned and looked at them. She looked at the cattle yard, and it was open. They thought, can I clear that, I guess? And she looked at it twice. They made a little nervous. She looked over in the pasture. I was horseback going to get something else, and she found me, looked back at the people over here, and then made a decision where to go. And so if they're that in tune and watching what we do, everything we do affects them, good or bad. And so we just have to realize that. So when we're over here goofing off, getting ready to work cattle, we're affected. Okay? Now, I'm going to pick on the sessions a little bit, because when you're doing these sheep side talks, you're not really paying attention to the cattle. And then the last session, they were really having trouble getting the bull to come into the chute. So everybody started watching the bull. The bull really didn't want to come in the chute. And so just by the line of sight, where you're positioned, a whole lot of things can really stop the movement on cattle. So I'll keep that in mind. That's a big thing that really got to keep in mind. The next one is, you know, they have a tendency to want to go around. If you walk into a set of cattle, they kind of spill around you. And that's also to keep an eye on you, but it's a behavior that if we don't take into consideration, we can't get cattle to go straight very easy. I think that's where a lot of people use dogs to keep the cattle going straight and they're working side to side. We can do the same thing if we're just position ourselves more to the side where the cattle can see us and focus on us a little better. We're going back smooth in the corner from this over. But it gets better. The third thing is that they're a herd animal, right? So if we get one of them started, the rest of them will kind of go. Now, they're not like sheep or goats or something like that. You may hear the word sheep or goats. I will tell you, the best stockman in the country is the people that can work sheep and goats and enjoy it. Because you cannot work sheep and goats and enjoy it if you don't understand stockmanship. And so We'll talk about that design in a minute, but it's designed to take advantage of these five things I'm talking about, and we used it backwards. Just because that's human nature to go that way. Okay? Alright? Then the other thing is that they want to take pressure off. So when we're talking about training cattle and then what we need them to do, we're talking about pressure and release. Okay? That's all we need to worry about is putting pressure on at the right time, taking that pressure off when they respond, or when they respond, that takes the pressure off. Okay? And then I like to go back to this. If I want this horse to work right and work for me for a long time, how much time do I spend training him to do that? A whole lot. We normally don't go try and put him in a tough spot until he's had at least 30, some of us do it quicker than that, about 30 rides sometimes, a lot of times 15, 20, we'll take him out. But we don't put him under a lot of pressure until they actually kind of understand. We know they know what they need to know. What about dogs? Do we train dogs to do a job we want them to do? In every other business on earth, do we train people to do the job they're expected to do? But we never train cattle to do the job we expect them to do. And so I think that's where we take some of these principles and do them pretty easy and pretty quickly. We can train cattle for a lifetime. That's where in replacement cattle, receiving cattle in a preconditioning program, wean cave, that's where, if you hadn't done it before that, that's when you can get access to it. And so if we train them at that point in time, they're kind of trained for life. Then we just have to reinforce that. I liken it a whole lot to raising kids. I get personal now. Don't anybody take personal on how your kids are. But if they're kind of feral as a young person, how are they going to be when they're young, older? They're going to have feral tendencies, aren't they? But if we give them a good foundation, and that's why we raise kids the way we do, because God bless boys in particular, when they go through those teenage years, we lose their mind, right? And so you've got from about 13 or 15 on boys up to about 23 that they're useless as hell. Girl that starts at 13 but goes to 30. But there's a period of time in there you kind of wonder, what did I waste all my time for and they're used trying to make them do right? But then, lo and behold, they start coming back around and actually make good, productive citizens, hopefully. And so the same thing goes for these cattle. There may be a phase in there when they're a little bit hard, but they always have that good foundation. We'll put it on them early. And so that's why when we're branding or whatever we're doing, the way we sort calves affects them for life. The way we gather cow-calf parents affects them for life. Kirk Tate was talking about a deal he did over in Hawaii. The cattle, the calves were just almost insane during weaning phase. And the cattle normally didn't act that way, but he was trying to figure out what was going on, and he finally watched the guy who was bringing the cattle up, calling the cattle, and he had some kind of vehicle with a siren on it, and he was out in front of those cattle, and they were just chasing him down the top of this ridge. Well, those calves got left behind, and they just got stirred up, and it was just a big boil every time they tried to move those cattle, and they were stressed by the time they got them to the pen. So the way they were being gathered really affects how they're going to behave. We've got to keep that in mind. And the last thing is, cattle are a lot like a guy. They only think of one main thought at a time. Alright? And so, think about this. If we've got something we want to do that's kind of unpleasant, like going in this chute, they probably are not going to do it unless we put adequate amount of pressure on them. And they're also like a guy. What if somebody gives you a task to do, say your spouse or significant other, asks you to do something, it's not really something you want to do, faster you keep your movement, the better draw you have and the better flow you get. So sometimes that slowly is misinterpreted as taking too long. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about doing it at a speed in our movement that creates that good flow and that good kind of speed movement. Okay? So that's something that's really misunderstood. You're doing, I don't say it, no way to work out quickly, slowly. That's really misunderstood a lot. So, and this is interesting. The old cattle that are pretty flighty, everybody gets in a big hurry around them. Everybody tends to get louder, get bolder in their movement. In reaction, really, I don't think you ought to be slowing that down and making it smaller movements. They're kind of like sheep, all right? A little bit of movement gets a whole lot of reaction. On gentle cattle, a lot of times you've got to make bigger moves, louder moves, bolder moves, maybe even add some pressure to it to get them to respond to it. And so we see that opposite applied a lot of times. The cattle are real gentle, but everybody's real slow and gentle around them, but they won't move, they won't flow. So both of those need to be fixed. The wild ones need to be calmed down, the gentle ones need to be able to move when you ask them to. Alright, so I've spent a lot of time talking because the cattle aren't going to take much. They already work pretty good. We'll show a few things on those bulls down there, just getting them to move and start and stop. I like being in, if you have a bigger pen, you can talk about getting movement and flow out of the pasture and getting kind of started. One thing you can't do much in these small ones, there's a whole lot about that, but we'll kind of talk through it and start with cow calf pairs as well. It's really important. So now we start pairs. That's up the whole thing again, right? And so we go in there and bust through those cows and get them up and get them moving before they pair up. Or we bust that bond and just get them moving, then we have calves lagging behind and all that. So our whole objective is get the cow up, get her moving, get her behind that calf, and then leave. Then we tell them where to go. So often we've got our mindset, we want them to go over there, so that's where we go and we start pushing. But we've got to let them get their baby first. Let me walk in here. Before we start that process. That's something that, let's talk about that. A lot of times, ATVs actually work pretty good for that. Unless you call your cows all the time with ATV, and they always come with ATV. But if you'll take one of them and you do the same thing horseback, you'll just start driving circles out past your cattle somewhere, or loping circles like you're warming your horse up. It kind of irritates the cows. They're going to get their babies to leave. Once they do, then you can start directing where they go. It doesn't take long to do it. Even on growing up, of course, I don't know how y'all do in this part of the world. We had jig lines. We'd go out and spread out across the pasture. Just that process of going out down the fence rows and dropping people off starts those cows to get up and get their calves. And that starts moving. And as other cows go through those cows and pick them up, they get their calves and start to flow. So how you start together is really important. Alright. If anybody has any questions or arguments as we go through this, I'll make them decisions. I got some questions. I may not do it. Alright, so if this were a set of cows I wanted to move somewhere, and normally I can move panels around on a horse, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I can move these panels horseback. Not that he probably stout enough. I'm not so sure I'm stout enough. They are substantial. But if I put these getting those cattle to come by is the first, most important thing we're going to do. And we sure don't go over to that. So, that's interesting. A lot of people away from them. You stay way wide of the cow. That way you don't draw them off. If you watch your cow and you go away from them, they'll be watching you on this side. You're on this side. And eventually they'll actually turn loose on you and look back to the herd. And that's how you know when they turn loose to you and you're out far enough that you're not going to draw them to you. So if you're in there and they're looking at you, they're just like a drunk driver. They're going to go in your direction. And so the main thing about this thing is make sure Just caught them outside.
Gate in the
Alright? And I'm here for that. Alright. And there's probably no reason, but I don't know what it is. I'm thinking it may be, if you set this gate right here, it's got more room for those cattle to go far enough around that when they start to look off, they can see the opening. But I'm not real sure. Alright. So the way this thing is designed to work is I'm going to send cattle into it. They're going to come in here. They're going to turn around. They don't have any place to go. And then as I shut this gate, and I'll probably shut it there. We'll try it both ways. But as I shut that gate, then I'm going to go back this way. So what am I then doing? As I go this way, the cattle are going to turn and come back around me. So this mimics the same thing you get in the mud box, but you have a swing gate if you need it. That's why they call it a mud flow. They come in here, go to the other end, and they come back. Somewhat of an extra step, but it actually works pretty good. We'll try some of that. I think what I'm going to do first is just run a few of them through. We'll talk about training and talk about a few more obstacles and issues with this. We'll just stick a head in the corner for a bit here. Yeah, people set up over. fit. So that's where it's hard to get draw and flow. And this is where timing gets to be important as well. When this bull valve, this gate closed, this is one reason I like this, and that's when there's closed, or you had a no back or something else there. As I open this gate, to let that one out, I can let this open, create my draw and flow coming by there. Okay? And then, as that happens, I can step down the side of this one, draw him in, up and close the next gate. So there's a lot of things about these designs that help to create flow. Now, if you have somebody helping you, this may get a little more complicated. People get in the way, and I won't say this. We get some pretty good crews put together sometimes to help get her. And when you get in the crowd and start processing, everybody's still there, and everybody wants to help, and nobody's helping because they're in the way. So my normal rule of thumb is once you get cattle in the pen, send everybody but five off to do something else. Five's about all you need. Now, you may rotate them through during the day, have them come back and give somebody a spell or whatever if you're working a lot of cattle. But you get too many people, the cattle don't know who to listen to. Now, me working by myself out here, they need who to listen to. But if I'd have two more people in there who can holler, they wouldn't know who to listen to until they get confused. Same thing in working a chute. So if you have somebody, and a lot of chutes will have this, your handle up here, and working the chute, somebody can be right here and create this draw and flow. So if you got people working in the right stations, it helps. Okay, so you just have to learn how to do that and how to set it up to get that flow. But everybody's a little different. Alright, boys, I don't want you all to go at once, but I don't think we can. That's something out about a sweep system or a butt box. Don't put too many in there. Alright, that's the biggest problem we have with most systems. We cram them full because we're lazy and we don't want to go get more cattle. So that's maybe where if you've got extra people, put them in the back where everybody doesn't have to make as many trips. You can cut it up in sections and have a little bit different flow to it. I'll make this harder on you than I want to. Let's do this. And notice as we've gone through the sheep, that's more pressure. Now we have more movement to the bulls. A little bit. Thank you. If you've got replacement heifer, if you're trying to anybody in your AI breed, hopefully some of the heifers at least, maybe. If you'll take some time and train them through your system, before you go, take them through about three times, where they just flow through like butter, we see about a 10% increase in AI conception rate. But get that stress off them. To me, that's worth the time and effort to do it. Even if you don't, if you've got 300, 400, 500 head of cattle, it may not. But remember what I said, you can train some of them. So take the opportunity to do that and get those cattle where they'll flow through the system. Alright. Anybody have any questions? That sawdust expecting somebody else to get in here. Alright. Y'all must really want to go home. Any questions? Anything at home you want to confess? That's about all the boys I need to do to them. This morning marked pretty easy. Like I said, the cattle are ready to work. It'll take long. So these have been handled really nice before. So I didn't have to try to fix anything. Just make sure that I'm in the right place and respond. If you have wilder cattle or flatter cattle, it takes more time in those meetings. Where you get them where they actually work. So we see a lot of that in a lot of our demos. They'll raise some pretty snorty cattle. And if we get them right, we could get them working through here. And so it actually takes some effort. Yes, sir.
These are my goals.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know how much light you wanted. Maybe I overdid it, but they were in a real big pen. There were 17 in the country lot. And they've had border collies on them about three or four times in the last week. Where the dogs were hitting on them, but just holding them to me and,
right.
And just working around. That's how we got them settled. And so that's what we did.
Yeah, they worked great. They really did.
And we saw these little boys in February, by the way.
That one, I was waiting for that. There is a reason you talk to somebody and bring a cattle one of these. They're either really nice, or they got an ulterior motive, or both. I think in this case, both. That is something to think about. Is as he's preparing these bulls for whoever's going to buy them, the last thing he wants to do is send some bulls home to somebody and they're going to eat them alive. I don't know how many times I hear about somebody getting bulls home and they're just crazy. But what are you doing, first of all? What were they like when they left the breeder's place? And what happened in between? Now, a lot of times, if we start doing breeding status exams on these bulls, they get kind of jacked up. It's kind of like me going to the doctor sometimes. I don't particularly care for that. Okay, so you can actually change the behavior of these cattle, but in the breeding status exam, you don't have a really good person doing it. You can affect them for a long time. So all of this goes together. Make sure you do the exams, you do them right, keep the cattle quiet, have good equipment to make that happen. And then all the stuff I've just been doing with them, get them back here and they're still hooked on to me. That's what I like to see. They're not afraid of me, they're not hiding in a corner, they're hooked on me. What's this fool going to ask next? It's kind of but this is really cool. I like it when they do that. And we put through here pretty fast. And so speed is not a problem when you start doing it. And people talk about low stress livestock handling. To me, it's effective stockmanship. You've got to be a really effective stockman before you can make that next step to low stress cattle handling. I think that's a misconception out there. Everybody thinks this is low stress handling. If I have a set of high risk, high stress cattle, I've got shipped to me, wean calves coming off, that's where I can use my good stockmanship to take stress off the cattle. Okay? Now let's think about this. And I normally just talk about this up front, but I forgot that. What's the biggest stressor in a calf's life? Birth, absolutely right. That's the first time I've heard anybody say that. Birth is actually the most stressful thing in a calf's life. What's next? Brandon, processing probably is the next stressor. Weaning is probably the next most stressful. Okay? What happens after weaning? The stress is gone. Transportation, maybe go through a marketing channel, more processing, more transportation, maybe more processing.
That's one thing I like about mud boxing, you really get
cattle scratching and clawing on the floor of the trailer. I've seen some trucks leave where you can smell hooves burning because they're sliding around on plates. That's where you get tow accidents. All these other things that can happen to your kid. That's something I'll never really get over. So make sure that we get them on there quiet and stay in there. You may hear haul cattle with somebody's driving. But the thing that frightens everybody is going up that ramp. Because you don't meet one coming off that ramp. The interesting thing about loading, like we're talking about here, they don't turn around and run off. Because that's where they got released pressure up on the truck. It's really interesting, the different dynamic. If you put them on there, right, they have quite they on the truck and not trying to panic and come off. We had a guy that, we actually videotaped this. I've got some video on YouTube if anybody wants to watch it. Walked in somewhere a couple of days ago. I've done one of these. Got walked in the room and got, oh my God, you look just like you do on YouTube. I just got to say it. I'm sorry about that. But there's some good videos on using web boxes. And this truck driver was there. We were on video and was training this reconditioning operation for hands. And I asked the truck driver, he made the comment the night before he got in there, and we told him what we were going to do. He said, I've been some yards where they're doing that, and that just doesn't work. I said, it just doesn't work. I'm going to just humor me tomorrow and let me load them like I want to. And I said, all I want you to do is not be in the truck. Get out of the truck, stand over here by the catwalk for the chute, and if they stop, walk down their sides. And when I got the video back, I actually was loading the working box in one of the videos, and he steps out of the truck, onto the catwalk, but he is a truck driver, so he stopped, right there in the back of the truck. But to his credit, when those calves come around me and out of the box, they saw him up there and they all stopped. And he stepped down and the flow went under that compartment in 45 seconds. But just him stepping out of the way. And he called us the next day. I've never had a truck driver call back. He said, those cows have got off the truck as easy as any cow I've ever hauled. So they hauled the wire, opened the gates, and I threw them off the truck, and they just walked off. So we're not standing at the back gate hot shotting every one of them to get on there. They're a whole lot likely to come off. Now think about this, the hardest thing is unloading the top deck sometimes. They're all got their butt right there against that gate. So when we open that, all we see butts, right? So the first thing you ought to do is try to get those guys to move away from that gate. But what I see people very problem on the side of the trucks, they're hot shotting the ones in front of them, and they wind up taking all their butts in the door. So push them away, leave them room to turn around, and then they can see the opening and come out. No different than we're doing right here. Okay? So there's a lot of things we can do if we just stop and think through it, why they're not responding the way we want to. And the other part on loading trailers, and I don't have any of these demos I've done. Person comes in to pick the cattle up and they're over here and they got flags and hot shots and screaming when they load them on their truck to release. So I want to watch it today. It's pretty funny. I did one of these little guys in Kansas City hauling from an auction market down there. These guys are pretty corny. And we didn't have a place to load them in that demo bin. And he said, well, how are we going to load these back on that truck? We had like a 40-foot loading it with a ton and a half truck. I said, we're just going to break the panels on the side of the arena and you're going to whack up there and we'll just load them out of the arena. I can tell he thought, this ain't going to work. But we brought him around there and I kind of got him to, he didn't listen. I was proud of him. He had listening. He had a top shot in his hand. I'm just hoping he didn't stick anything with it. We got him around there and I got the person to jump on there and we actually split the load, closed the cut gates, brought him out of the background, jumped him on there, walked up, closed the gate, real slow, and he said, well, I'll be damned. Been loading cattle for 45 years and never loaded one of that hot shot or something on the truck. So he started sending things from the cell barn to the demo the next year. So those are the kind of things that don't get one paying attention. He learned something, pick one up, and appreciate that. Y'all are probably pretty good. Most of the good ends come to these meetings, the bad ends don't. So what we do is want to help them. It's not really easy to implement some of these practices with people that aren't. same thing.